Number 6. Sometimes a dream. Chief Karkar of Maramum Valley in the New Guinea hinterland squatted on the floor of a grass hut as he related his 3 dreams. 3 dreams within a period of 6 days. In his first dream, he said, he was walking along a jungle trail. Where it divided, he took a narrow trail to the right, which climbed abruptly upward. For hours he plodded up the mountainside, and then as evening approached, he found a grass shelter that appeared to be deserted. He pushed through the small doorway, happy to rest. Out of the darkness, a voice said to him, "Are you satisfied with your mission and your way of life?" Struggling against a sudden fear, he replied, "Yes, I'm quite contented with my way of life. I attend worships and meetings fairly regularly." "But," said the voice, "you are still living much the same as you did before the mission came to your village. You still practice your heathen sing-sings and indulge in all the evils that accompany them. You still believe in talking to your evil spirits when in trouble. And let me tell you, does your mission help you or your people when you are sick?" He had no reply. The words were burning deep. Then the voice spoke again. "If you want to obtain eternal life, you must follow the Seventh-day Adventist mission." Now he was troubled. This suggestion cut across many of his practices and ambitions. He knew about the 7-day mission across the valley, but he preferred his own mission, for he didn't have to give up anything to belong to it. But once more the voice spoke, "I want you to go back to your village and tell all your people what I have told you. Then I will visit you again to see if you have done what I have asked you to do." Awaking from sleep in his own hut, he was deeply disturbed. He decided to tell the villagers his dream, that is, a part of it. So he called them together, told them a portion of his dream, and told them he thought it meant that he would soon die. At this announcement, there was hushed silence. 2 nights later, he dreamed again, and the voice said in a chiding tone, "I am ashamed of you." The chief could think of nothing to say, and then after a long pause, the voice said, "Why did you not give the true meaning of your dream to the people? You are not going to die. Go tell them what I told you." He awoke with a start. This time he hurried to take action. Even before dawn, he summoned his people. This time he told them his first dream in detail, omitting nothing, and then the second dream. The people were happy as he told them he was not going to die. Soon the whole village was astir and enthusiastic. A central site was selected for the new mission. Some of the men were sent to outposts to find the missionary's hut, and the chief himself led a delegation to visit the 7-day missionary, who willingly accompanied them back to the village. But there was one more dream for the chief. This one involved meeting a lone figure beside the path, a person who was very friendly and who told him he was building a dwelling for his villagers who would soon come to be with him. Walking on up the mountain, the chief entered the huge building. There he saw angels scurrying about, preparing a banquet. He was told that he could attend the banquet if he fulfilled the requirements. Early the next morning, he called his people together. This time they were eager to know what he had dreamed. Among them was Warai from the Adventist mission. He told them the true meaning of the dream, that Jesus, the Son of God, is preparing a dwelling in heaven for the faithful of all lands, that he will soon return for them, that there will be a big banquet, and that now is the time to prepare for it. The people became very excited. Some of them began to build their huts nearer the new mission site, renouncing their heathen practices immediately. It was not long until 500 people were meeting together in that valley. So it is that angels, seen or unseen, prepare the way for truth. And so it is that the number of worshipers grows rapidly. Worshipers who are willing to give up their heathen practices and walk where the angels lead, to live clean and happy lives. In the land of the tree dwellers in eastern Indonesia, a man named Rantawa dreamed that God's true religion would come to his mountains. He dreamed that the day of worship would have special significance, that it would be neither the sixth day of the week nor the first day, but the day in between. About 25 years later, a missionary came to the village and told them of the seventh-day Sabbath. Rantawa remembered his dream. Some of the older villages remembered it too, and they eagerly accepted the missionary and his stories of Jesus who died for them. Tamasambo and four of his friends, as they returned to their village in New Guinea, met a supernatural being. This being told them to change their lifestyle, destroy their pigs, stop chewing betel nut, clean up their village, stop traditional dances and devil worship, stop polygamy, worship on the Sabbath, and prepare for eternal life. This was in 1963. In 1967, a man named Jerome came to their village and told them the same things. Tamasambo remembered the message given him 4 years before. He joined the class ready and was baptized a Seventh-day Adventist in 1971. Why is it, I ask, that stories like this seem to come most often from places like New Guinea, Central America, developing parts of Africa? Is God more interested, are angels more interested in the South Pacific than in the United States, Canada, England, or France? Is it that people of simple living are more receptive than we who call ourselves civilized? Are they more sincere than we? Do these relatively unenlightened people treasure the little light they have, while we neglect the greater light that is ours? I don't know the answer. It's something to think about. I'm sure, however, that angels are not as unevenly distributed on this planet as it may seem. When we talk with angels, they will fill us in on many a final chapter. Yes, angels sometimes visit, personally or in a dream, those who are seeking for truth.